Last week was a Dying to Know You Day, and we had a bit of a discussion about, about my mum who died, and about things that didn't happen, or, you know, was rather, the attention to detail wasn't there. So it sparks an honest, empowering conversation about end-of-life planning when somebody dies, and then you can think, well, maybe I should do something. Like, I just need to update my will or do something like that. Anyway, we had Danny call us from, who was listening to the show, but we couldn't get her on last week. So we've got her on now. Danny, are you with us now?
Hi. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for texting in last week, and, you know, sorry we couldn't get you in last week, because last week was Dying to Know You Day, or Dying to Know Day. And Danny, you're a death doula, is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
What you definitely piqued my interest talking about the death care industry and death admin, and mm-hmm. you know, the sadness for you that it felt like it didn't go how you wanted, and it happened to be Dying to Know Day, so I thought it was fortuitous that I was driving to an event for Dying to Know Day, a death cafe, and you popped up on the radio. So, yeah, we did connect. But
yeah.
I'd love to talk to you about the dialogue you were having, because August 8th, Dying to Know Day started on the 12th, on August 20th. 12, and it's been going every year with the Day of Action on August 8th. And it tied into what you were saying, because it's about having these meaningful conversations with your family and your loved ones about what your end-of-life wishes are and what your plans are. And most of us don't have these conversations, and we're certainly not having them on the regular. And the challenge with that is, you know, we know that people plan, they spend weeks planning for a holiday, but they don't take that time to plan for their end of life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was thinking, like, when we were planning my mum's funeral, and secretly in the back of our minds, we were thinking, well, not secretly, but thinking, I bet you anything, if she'd written this down, she would want a full mass. And none of us wanted to do that. So we said, well, how about a graveyard ceremony? That sounds fine. But she didn't write down what she wanted. So, and I wonder whether she did that because she knew that we would disobey her wishes, or we would have been going, oh, God, you know, we have to sit through another mass. I don't know.
But we're much more likely to honour the wishes when we've had conversations about them. So it's one thing to write them down, but a lot of people don't find out until after a funeral what's in the will. And we know wills are only one component. There's so many things that we need to take care of, that, you know, our digital legacy. So Dying to Know is managed by Provida, which is a charity based on the Northern Beaches. And we have what's called an emotional will on our website. And that's a beautiful document that people use in planning for their end of life, and having, you know, doulas can help you. But you can also have these things done yourself and then have a conversation with your family about the things that have meaning in your life and what your legacy is. You know, it might be your favourite recipe that helped me through tough times, or grandma taught me to cook this recipe and I want this to be handed on. These are my favourite songs, you know. So music connects us all. And we recently did a post for Dying to Know Day on our social media that was, tell us your top 100 funeral songs. And, wow, the community has gone, you know, wild with it, because everyone has the songs that they want to be played for their funeral. But not telling your loved ones, not telling them where your password is, not telling them, you know, how to access your banking or your insurance, or, you know, any of those things that are important once someone dies and you're experiencing grief and you have to deal with it, it just causes chaos and confusion. And the potential for family division while you're making those decisions is, you know, such a big risk that can be avoided by us not just taking the time to record our wishes, but sharing them with the people we love. You know, we have beautiful photo memories. We have, you know, journals and books. And I went to a dear colleague and friend's memorial service last year, and he opened up. He was a documentary filmmaker, and an editor in the film industry, and he had an amazing book collection. And at his memorial, he'd opened it up and he'd recorded this. We'd had lots of conversations about his end of life. And he had this beautiful room full of his books with an invitation to come and take a book that called to you. Mm-hmm. You know, what a beautiful legacy. And I have this special book from him now that, you know, I think of him. And death doesn't have to be sad and morbid, and it's not taboo. Our culture has sadly made it a little bit that way. But the campaign is designed to have conversations regularly to ensure that we know each other's wishes and what where they are. Mm-hmm. We started the campaign this year with the theme of Nobody Knows and the absurdity of keeping, you know, your end-of-life wishes. What do you want to happen to your body after you die? There are lots of options. You don't even have to have a funeral. You know, if your family decided that's not what you're going to do for your mum, you're well within your rights to do that. And because we don't talk about it, then people don't know. And so the theme Nobody Knows was with a headline saying, "The secret I'm glad I shared." And people gave us their secrets that were, you know, I want to be buried, not cremated, or I want to be acclimated. I want to make sure that, you know, my grandkids get my money. I want to make sure that there's a plan for my dog when I die. That's the most important possession I own. And we created some beautiful photo shoots in everyday locations, like, you know, a pub, like a salon, a park, you know, having a picnic, a skate park, and making sure that we captured all generations, because we know that grandparents and grandkids are more likely to be able to have these conversations flow more easily. And we know that death doesn't only come to the aging. So we know that it's important to have these conversations. And we know Gen Z will talk about everything and anything. And they like to be frank. And, you know, that's really refreshing.
Mm. Well, that is exactly right. And, you know, if you don't know, then you don't know. So it makes it difficult. I mean, and it's just as things like Facebook. I have a friend who died a few years ago, and it will come up. Her birthday is happening. And it's like, oh, my God, how do you stop that?
Well, or, you know, the even worse, people get a friend suggestion sent to them from that person because that's an algorithm that we can't control. So you stop that by having a plan. And technology has, like your iPhone or your, I think Android even has it, as well as Facebook, has a legacy contact. You can go in and add a legacy person. So if something were to happen to you, that person's already nominated. They know about it because they're contacted through the electronic process. So if we don't do it ourselves, there are technical ways to do it. But, you know, having a folder that talks to all of the things that are important, there's plenty of resources, you know, on the internet that you can actually go to and find to record the things that are important to you and then tell somebody where they are. So I've got a book, you know, third drawer from the left beside my bed that has all of my important information, and you can access that if something happens to me. And that way it's not a secret. Or here's my phone password. I've created all these things in my notes. If something happens to me, please go into my notes and see what my, you know, final wishes are and see who I want to be contacted. And then things like where you want to die. Like, that's such an important conversation.
Yeah.
Because we know that about 70 to 80% of Australians want to die at home and 14% do. So there's a big gap there. And the gap is because we don't have these conversations.
Absolutely. Now,
and we need to.
We need to. And thank you very much, Danny. That's all we have time for today. But thank you. That is very important information.